Now, you referred to the disappointing data that's been coming out in terms of dual biologics, and we saw some of that at the recent ASCO meeting. Can you kind of update us on where we are about that strategy?
Sure. The current information comes from retrospective reviews as well as prospective clinical trials looking at combinations of bevacizumab and either panitumumab or cetuximab. With the trials that have been reported to date, including PACE and CAIRO in particular, there's this indication that the two seems to lead to a lower response rate and, more concerning, decrease in time to tumor progression and overall survival. This was very much in contraindication to what had come out of the BOND-2 trial that suggests in last-line therapy the two agents together really did provide a meaningful benefit over either one alone.
Now, can you just clarify which agents were used in those three studies?
Sure. In the BOND-2 trial, it had looked at the use of cetuximab and bevacizumab. PACE was using panitumumab and bevacizumab together with chemotherapy. And then in CAIRO-2, they were using capecitabine, oxaliplatin, bevacizumab with or without cetuximab. With these trials now showing that there seems to be some harmful effect, or at the very minimum, no benefit, there's a concern that we should not further pursue that combination. That's still unclear why there would be a potentially harmful interaction between the two agents in patients with colorectal cancer, and that still needs to be worked out. This certainly has an impact on some of the current trials, including the CLGB trial 80405, where, as you may be aware, there are the three different arms of biologic agents that patients with metastatic disease coming in for first-line therapy were randomized to either cetuximab or bevacizumab or the two agents together with either FOLFIRI or FOLFOX. The physician in collaboration with the patient made the decision about the chemotherapy, but then were randomized to one of the three arms using the biologics. Because of the results of CAIRO-2 and PACE, there's now concern that this approach is no longer appropriate for patients and should be taken out of the trial. I think the concern is that, again, this is somewhat of a retrospective analysis looking back at those combinations, and particularly subgroup analysis in some cases based on KRAS status. And is the information robust enough that we should either halt a national trial or modify that trial? And that discussion is still going on.
So just as a follow-up, do you think that that combination of bevacizumab and either cetuximab or panitumumab is something that there's a role for outside a protocol setting?
Right now, I believe that there would have to be great caution about using it. The BOND-2 trial might suggest that in last-line therapy without any additional chemotherapy, there could be a benefit, but we have to further explore and understand what was unique about patients in last-line therapy that seemed to have a significant benefit versus patients in earlier lines of therapy where there was not a benefit, indeed a potential harm.
Any hypotheses about why there might have been, you know, this downside or actually detrimental effect?
There's been a lot of speculation, but I haven't heard a good hypothesis put forward yet. You know, part of the thought behind this was that there is an interaction between the EGFR pathway and the vascular endothelial growth factor pathway, and that by targeting both, it should further maximize the effect on angiogenesis and therefore have a greater impact on tumor growth, in that, at least from the data that's coming out, suggests that's not the case. Part of the thought, at least the speculation, has been that in certain patients, we may be upregulating other pathways that we're not currently monitoring or aware of, and that by upregulating those other pathways, we're countering what we're trying to accomplish with the bevacizumab and cetuximab, and that in itself is what's leading to this decrease in benefit.
What about side effects and toxicity with the combination? What was seen, and how much of the actual chemo was able to be delivered? Was that part of the problem?
From the data that's been presented so far, it does not appear that it's had a major impact on the ability to provide the chemotherapy. The bigger impact is the two together appear to cause problems of greater fatigue. At least in the Bond 2 trial, there was a problem with patients maintaining the treatment over time without the chemotherapy added to it, in part because of the fatigue.
Any speculations about what the fatigue would be from?
The fatigue seems to be a common factor that comes up, or a common side effect of a lot of the anti-angiogenic agents. We've certainly seen it with many of the drugs that are used to target the VEGF pathway or VEGF itself. I think the cause behind it is still not understood, and that's an area that obviously is of great importance as these drugs are developed and we use them more commonly. Are there ways to limit or prevent the fatigue?